Welcome to the Dry Bar Comedy Podcast, everybody. As usual, it's Taylor Nielsen.
Hey, and it's me, Jordan Macon, right here next to you, Taylor.
Oh, it's good to have you there.
What a comfort. Where else would I be?
I don't know.
Where else would I be? Lots of places. Where else would I rather be? Nowhere else.
Nowhere else.
Nowhere else. We have a great show today.
We totally do. I'm stoked.
I'm pumped.
And guys, we want to thank you before we jump to our awesome guest for tuning in for the podcast. Please leave a review. If you have any, ideas, things you want to see on the podcast, guests that you want to see in the future.
Mean comments? They do that without asking.
Yeah, maybe just leave those as comments and then skip the review process. But let's get to our guest.
Is my last name really a Smiley, which is a great last name for a comedian? It's the worst last name if you have to fly all the time. Because every TSA guy, it even happened this morning, they look at my ID and go, "Oh, Smiley, how come you're not smiling? You got a last name Smiley, you ought to smile all the time. We're going to call you Mr. Frowny, Mr. Smiley. Let's see that smile." And all I can think of is, man, I'm so close to your gun.
All right, you know who it is. You saw it. You laughed. You love him. You know him from a special, Tartar Terrorist, and You're Just Hungry. Welcome, Bob Smiley, to the podcast.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm Bob Smiley, or is what most Dry Bar people call me, not Jeff Allen. So, I just want everybody to know I know my place. So, yeah. No, it's good to be here.
Yeah, most of us that have done Dry Bar specials, people go, "Oh, I like that one guy," when I know who they're talking about. Exactly. But there's plenty of us.
Yeah, there's a lot of us out there, so...
Yeah, thanks for coming to the studio. You're doing a Dry Bar Encore show.
Yep, did one last night, and I'm going to do another one tonight, and it was great. It was really good. It's always nice whenever you see them adding chairs. And so I showed up last night, and they were adding chairs because they had sold more tickets than what the place... There was no fire marshal code broken. I just realized I don't want to get them in trouble, but then what the normal place holds, they were adding more chairs. Because I also have done my share of shows where I'm having to ask everybody to move down to the first two rows. So it's nice to be on the other end of that.
Where adding chairs is better than taking away or blocking off chairs.
Could everybody move down forward? In fact, just come up on the stage and I will do my...
We don't need the mic. We'll just talk.
I did that one time in Keller, Texas. Because I do a lot of churches, and so the youth pastor was like, "Hey, will you come to a show? It's all rich kids, so their idea of a mission trip is going snow skiing, and all this kind of going to Switzerland to spread the joy of Jesus on the slopes and that kind of stuff." And he's like, "I'm just trying to get them just to think that the youth room is just a fun hangout, and it doesn't have to be a chartered bus to Six Flags or whatever." And he goes, "I don't know how many people are going to be there." And there were eight people. It was my smallest crowd. Oh, eight really? Kids. And I just put them on a couch, and I just stood in front of eight kids. And it was so very much like, okay, I see you enjoyed that joke. I could individually see who was enjoying what. So
how did that affect your performance? Was it nerve-wracking?
Yeah, because it's hard to do a punchline when you're weeping. And just realizing that your career might be over.
Open mouth sobbing.
And stuff like that, yeah.
I opened for Paul Sheffield, another Dry Bar comedian who's been on the podcast.
Sure.
But one of my first shows opening for someone, I opened for him, and it was like an off night, and only his friends and family showed up.
Wow.
And he...
You're really outing him on this
one. Well, this is early on. He's huge now.
Yeah, he's huge. Best thing on the menu is Best YouTube channel. Check it out.
Yep. But he opened the show by greeting each one of them personally, saying their names on stage.
That's a good way to do it.
Josh, thanks for coming. Diane, thanks for being here.
You gotta address it, right? Or else.
Well, I did one this summer. I mean, and I'm 27 years in, so you would think I would be past the bad shows. But I was on vacation with my family and a comic friend of mine, who's not a comic friend of mine now, because of the show that he offered to me. But he called me and he's like, "Hey, there's a water park down in Katy, Texas, and they're going to have a big family night, And I it's not the right fit for me. And that should have been my first red flag. I was like, you know, what comic turns down work? You know, so, you know, I would do a junior high lock-in at 4 a.m. right after the shaving cream fight if it had a check. So the fact that he was turning that down. And so I was like, sure. And so it was a last-minute deal. They decided to have a family night. So I called the park, and they were like, oh, yeah, we're really excited. It's just going to be a bunch of parents and stuff. So I show up, and I didn't get any other information, should have. And first of all, it wasn't really advertised as a parent night. And I don't know if you know that area of Texas, but anyway, they kicked everybody out of the park to redo it, to set it up for the, you know, quote unquote parent night. Uh-huh. And so everybody was lined up outside. So I thought, I'll see the audience, kind of get a feel for the audience. I would probably still not pass a drug test now, just from the contact high. and I'm used to very Christian crowds and stuff. And yeah, there was nothing Christian about these people, like what they were wearing. And just, I was just like, I'm going to have to do the show with my eyes like closed, because everybody was in thongs. Like, it was just not my... And then I was like, okay, where are we doing the show? And she took me to this stage that overlooked a wave pool. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. Like, and it's like, no, they'll be floating around in the tubes.
Oh, no.
And stuff. Oh, and no. I was like, oh, my goodness. And then the other thing I didn't know is the water park was open. So it wasn't like they shut it down and then everybody's going to come to my show.
No,
and
of course
so,
not.
Yeah, I'm up there, and I was supposed to do an hour, and already it's just miserable. And so there's nobody in front of me, and then the big wave part of the pool was to my left.
Sure.
And there was like maybe 8 or 9 people floating in the inner tubes on the deep part. And I walk out, and I'm doing a show for nobody in the pool. Like, and these guys are here. And I even open, a little risque for me, but I open, and I was like, I have never done a show where I can actually tell people are peeing. you know, and to ad lib, because nobody was listening to me. I was like, and I see that you are right now, sir, and it would be better if you were in the water. You know, like I'm just amusing myself at this point. And then about halfway through my show, they turn the wave pool on.
No,
so now it starts forcing, and by that time there were about 25, 30 people on the inner tubes. Now the waves are forcing them in front of me. Now, I've been heckled about every way you can. The worst heckle ever is somebody paddling away from me, like frantically, like, I don't want to get in your eyesight. I don't want your jokes to touch me.
Oh,
like,
God.
And so they're all trying to paddle back and everything. And so I'm just doing my, I'm looking, and I've got just like 2 minutes left of my hour. And so I turned to, and by then there was maybe 50 or 60 people all drunk out of their minds and stuff. And I go, hey, by the way, I know I've mentioned several of my bits are about me being a Christian, but I hope you guys realize, like, I'm not trying to convert you or preach at you or anything. And two people held up their beer and was like, yeah, which I didn't even know they were listening. And I was like, oh, and I go, yeah, because I'm not going to try to convert you. I can already tell there's no hope, which I don't know why. And now they just start booing me.
Oh, no.
And I look, and I've got like a minute left. And so one guy in the tube starts going, we want music. We want music. And so because it's just the worst show ever, I start chanting, we want music with them. But I actually, because I have the mic, I slow them down. And so I got them going, we want music. And I'm looking at my watch, and I'm watching it to where I hit exactly an hour. And as soon as I hit it, I go, we want music. I'm John Chris. Thank you guys so much. Drop the mic. And that was this summer.
I'm impressed you stayed throughout the whole hour. I would have been like 40s an hour.
Yeah, I'm kind of at the point where I'm like, if it's bad, let's just all lean into
it.
See how bad it can be.
One thing to like walk a room, but another thing to like backstroke a room. Like, yeah. What would you call it? Wait, yeah. A room when they're trying to swim away from you.
Yeah. I'm telling you, the fear in one lady's face, because there were several of them that got that push over, but this lady was like, you know.
That's so funny.
So I don't know if she had been at a comedy show and some guy made fun of her, and she, you know, went to a Gallagher show and Watermelon hit her. She had some
PTSD.
Yeah. No, he can't.
Well, people are already insecure in swimsuits, so maybe they're afraid you're going to heckle them.
These people were not insecure at all. They were. I just have never. Again, I live in a Christian bubble, so
yeah.
Yeah, when they opened up the gates and they started walking in, I was like they were. It was bad. My wife was like, please. Just cover your eyes the whole show.
But it's that old public speaking tactic where they say to not be nervous, just picture the crowd naked. So you didn't even have to pretend.
Well, I always heard picture them in your underwear, and that would have been putting more clothes on them. So I don't think that would have necessarily been helpful.
Yeah, if you're performing for a naked crowd, you go all the way opposite. You say perform for them pretending that they're in business attire.
Yeah.
That's how you be less nervous.
Basically the opposite of whatever the crowd is.
Yeah.
You just picture
change
that.
Whatever they're totally it really works. For,
yeah. Man. So you're from Texas.
From Texas.
Okay. And so this was a part of Texas that you don't usually go to. How far away was this?
Yeah, so Katy's in South Houston and kind of out towards San Antonio.
Okay.
And it's a great water park. I don't want to... it's an amazing water park. Because they still give us tickets for me and my family to go. So I don't want to ruin that. But yeah, it was a night of... Basically, I guess they had a section that would watch your kids. So it was free babysitting.
Sure.
For parents. And yeah, they just all showed up. It was just not... It just wasn't my crowd.
Sure.
Like, because my crowd is people in front of me. And there was none of that. So if I would have had people in front of me, I probably could have done okay, even no matter who they were. But this performing for, some floaters over here.
I love that term, floaters.
How's the audience? Ah, we got some floaters.
We got some floaters.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, no. You don't even have to deal with that on cruise ships.
No. And the thing was, is they were super drunk.
Yeah.
And I've done, because I don't do a ton of clubs, but I've done, my share. And so every once in a while you get, one or two people that are, you have to like kick them out or, but normally it's in my shows, it's all sober people, it's mostly churches. So, they've got their secret flask and, they're hitting the wine, but they don't get sloppy drunk. And this is a water park. They were just fall over sloppy drunk.
That's funny. Yeah. I imagine church audiences are pretty polite for the most part. Can you think of any exceptions?
They, yes, all of them. here's the thing. They're very loving and polite, and they're rooting for you. They're rooting for you up to about 10 minutes. So okay. they give you God's grace for 10 minutes is what I found. And then after 10 minutes, if you're not good, then the way they encourage you is by letting you know that you should find some other career. It can be brutal. And especially the farther north that you go, the more kind of stoic, because the Southern hospitality, I know it's a stereotype, but it's totally true.
Sure.
You could go, if you're a starting comic and you want to get a lot of stage time, in front of a very, forgiving and loving audience, go to Louisiana, Mississippi, go down to the Southern states and stuff, and they'll give you tons of stage time, and they're just happy that you're, following your dream and stuff.
Oh,
but,
that's nice.
The farther north you go, they're like, okay, you got about 10 minutes and we'll love on you, but then you need to go find another career if you're not making us laugh.
Are they actively yelling out new careers for you while you're on stage?
they're on their phones looking up resumes for you, like who's hiring.
They're on LinkedIn looking for stuff. They're actually very helpful.
They're setting up a profile for you.
Taking a picture, making the profile pic.
No, and that was like, I've gotten so many, like what I call church heckles.
Sure.
I remember one guy came up and he was just like, man, and I'd done like an hour and 20 minute show and I felt like it did really well. And he goes, man, you are really trying. I was like, I felt like I did more than try. Like I got some laughs. Kind of in the early years when I first started, my second tour that I did was with a band called the Newsboys. And they were like that turned out to be the number one tour in Christian music, which was insane because I wasn't trying to be a comedian. I just was like thrown into it. And so I'm standing in front of 4,000 or 5,000 people a night. I didn't do open mic nights. I didn't like try out material here and there. Like I just all of a sudden was thrown on these bands. And so I remember one night a lady came up and she was like, okay. And I thought she was going to say, that was really good and unexpected. But she goes, which of the band members are you a family of? And I knew exactly what she was saying. There is no reason for you to be up there unless you are connected to one of these band members. So yeah, you get the, so you don't get the necessarily mean heckles from church crowd people, but you get the kind of backdoor compliments.
Or somehow a little bit they sting a little worse sometimes.
They do, yeah. And I'm appreciative of it because it's clever, and I like clever.
It's out of a place of like genuine concern. Yeah. Rather than spite, which is a little tougher to swallow.
Tell us how to pray for you. It's obviously not this career thing. What do you really want to be doing? Yeah, it's...
That's too funny. Yeah. Have you... I heard a little bit about... You had a weird comment in the Christian realm from your dry bar stuff, right? There's been people reaching out about...
Well, even to promote the shows this weekend, the dry bar posted a clip and...
Do we have the
quote or can you post it up here?
That is the heretic that performed before a Christian college and called Joseph Jesus's father like 100 times in a row.
Welcome to my life. So I get people on the atheist side like constantly trolling me, just saying like they don't even care what bits I'm doing. It could be nothing even about God. They just know that I'm an outspoken Christian and comedian, and so then they'll be all like all they write is God is not real. This made up God has hurt so many people. So I get that, and then I get from my side of like, I'm not Christian enough. But here's what cracked me up about that comment, because now I just laugh at him. But he said that I mentioned that Joseph was Jesus' father. First of all, I say earthly father. I'm very clear on that.
Right.
I say earthly father. But he said I said it about 100 times in a row. How bad a comic would I be if I went to a big Christian college and I just go, Joseph was Jesus' father. Joseph was Jesus' father. Hang on, guys. There's 98 more of these.
Yeah.
Roll with me on this. So, yeah. But I do a bit about, and I say Joseph, Jesus' earthly father, what it was like raising Jesus, because Jesus was Jesus, but he was a kid. So, did his dad ever be like, hey, I need you to water the plants? And Jesus was like, oh, it is finished, And I was like, Joseph ever have to get onto him, and be like, Jesus, stop spitting in everyone's eyes, and stuff like that. And, the end of the bit, I haven't done it in a long, long time, but the end of the bit is how Joseph must have bragged on Jesus, because I brag on my sons all the time, and they're morons.
Yeah.
And so I said, if I was Joseph, I'd find other people, other fathers, and I'd be like, hey, is that your son playing in the dirt? He's cool. I'd introduce you to my son, but he's way over there walking on the lake. Because I'm just trying to make a, and I try to point out, like, what would it have been like for Joseph to all of a sudden have Jesus,
right?
But I do say his earthly father. But that guy doesn't matter. He took a break from rereading The Hobbit the 8th time, and he just, and he typed out a hate mail on his computer, stacked on, 8 kitty box litters. I'm not really bitter at all. I totally let go of it. But no, I get that stuff all the time. Like, I get just tons of hate mail. I actually do a bit about it now in my show, because when my dry bar came out, I normally kind of didn't read the comments, just because, a friend of mine, Tim Hawkins, he gave me great advice, because he was getting a lot of hate mail too at the beginning, and he was blowing up huge. And he was like, just let your fans argue for you. Like, don't get into the fight. You're trying to put out good content in this world. You're trying to make a difference in people's lives. So just put it out there, and you're going to have haters. And so let your fans take up for you. And so I would do that. But when the dry bar came out, it came out like during COVID. And already I was hearing from a lot of people that were hurting, and depression was going through the roof, and everybody was like isolated and all this. And so I thought, man, this is pretty good timing that my special came out, like, right, you know, and it was free to everybody.
Yeah.
And so they, it came out, and I was sitting in my office, and I was like, I'm going to read the comments, like, in real time. And I'm running around on the stage, and, you know, like, you guys have probably never seen my show, but I'd move around a lot. And yeah, yeah. So the first comment just said, I thought Robin Williams was dead. And then the second one was, that's not Robin Williams unless Robin Williams grew up near a nuclear plant.
Oh, that's... And,
yeah, and then it was just all this stuff about Robin Williams. Robin Williams. The funniest comment was, it looks like I ordered Robin Williams off Wish. which solid. it was so good. One comment was, he looks like Conan O'Brien, and the guy from Whose Line Is It Anyway had a baby.
That's actually, wow, I'm seeing it. I mean, I well, disagree, man, I, completely.
Yeah, I've been enjoying being on this, but...
Which guy are we talking about? Are we talking about Drew Carey? Are we talking about
Ryan Stiles?
Okay.
Here's what's funny about that comment, and I read that comment during my show, and this happened last night. It happens a lot, but it even happened last night. I say the comment, which was Conan O'Brien and the guy from Whose Line Is It Anyway. As soon as I say Whose Line Is It Anyway, there's usually, and last night there was a lady down front goes, oh, yeah. Like, like they were sitting there the whole time enjoying my comedy, but going, who does he remind me of? Right. As soon as I say that. But yeah, the comment that kind of bothered me. Because, again, I've been made fun of all my life, and I am a, you know, comedian, so I make fun of everybody.
Right.
Like, that's all my friends are comics, so that's all we do is bash each other. So these trolls that think they're going to really hurt us, man, they're not going to hurt us. I mean, you could look at a text thread of me and John Crist, and it's brutal. You know? Like, in fact, if I always told my wife, if I ever die, you don't have to worry about, like, porn or, you know, like, they're like, you got to clear out, you know, something. You don't have to clear out anything except for my text history with other comics, because it is so brutal.
Oh, that's funny.
But one of the comments said, he looks like Robert Englund before the burn. Now, you guys watch horror movies? Do you know who Robert Englund is?
I'm trying to... No.
Okay.
No.
Freddy Krueger.
Oh, okay, yeah.
He looked... I look like Freddy Krueger before the burn.
Wow.
And I immediately, because I normally don't write back, I immediately wrote back to this dude, I will haunt you in your dreams. And when I did that, I was like, actually, this is probably going to be a good story for the stage. Like, all the hate comments.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I know you guys get... I mean, not just mine that I put up there, but you guys have gotten others.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We've been called Tweedledee and Tweedledum before. I don't know. Well, we will never recover from that comment.
No. Yeah. I'm devastated. I'm just hoping I'm Tweedledee. That's yeah. The only I'm praying.
You're hoping for D. You're hoping for...
If you commented, please clarify which one you meant.
Yeah.
If that was you, the comments, if you're watching.
The one that what makes me laugh at all these comment stuff is... then sometimes I'll read their comment and they're just trying to hurt you because you're putting something out in the world. And so then I'll go and look to see what they've contributed to the world, and it's nothing. They've yeah, got nothing. Uh-huh. Again, I don't usually respond, but I'd posted a video on YouTube, and this guy was, I'd noticed his name was popping up on all my videos. So he was just trolling me, like just saying mean, hateful stuff. And I looked at his profile, and he had put two videos out like 14 years ago. And so I did write under his comment. I was like, I'm so sorry that none of my videos are as entertaining as the two that you put out 14 years ago to bring joy to this world. Like, you're obviously the leader. And, you know, because that is what it is like, we're trying to put out something that's entertaining that will lift people up. And there are people out there that don't like that. They're just they want everybody else to feel hated so they don't feel as isolated.
Yeah. And I like the advice of saying let your fans like defend you. But yeah. The issue is I feel like people are so
no fans.
Yeah, the issue for me was no fans.
Yeah.
Or if I did have fans, they got convinced by the mean comments.
fair weather
no,
fans.
No, what I was really saying is just that yeah, exactly.
So you need dedicated fans.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, hard
fair
to find.
Weather.
I just like people like, well, if I really like something, I'm very rarely going to leave a nice comment.
Yeah.
I'm just
yeah.
like, I enjoyed that and it's over. Or, yeah. You know what I mean? But the people that want to leave mean comments, they're motivated by the smallest thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever looked up a YouTube profile, see who your biggest hater is, and it's like a 11-year-old boy? Like that happened to me once. I was like, who is this guy who's got the, who just has it out for me? He was 11.
Oh, yeah. That was the one that said, like, keep trying or something. Right? Someday. Was it that on one of ours or was it not?
I think it was on one of ours. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like, yeah, you'll get there someday. Keep trying. We looked at him. It's like, you're 11 years old.
Wise beyond
you have no
years.
Barometer.
I did a show last night and a kid in the front row was just doing this to me.
It was improv comedy, though. So.
Oh, okay.
They also had a homeless guy come in and yell at him.
Yeah, give us some constructive criticism of sorts.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he came in off the street and was sitting in the back, and it seemed like he was having a good time. You give a lot of suggestions in improv, right?
Yeah.
And he was given very specific. I think motorcycle jousting was one of the suggestions he gave. But at the end,
guy's seen some stuff, like in his past life.
Yeah, for sure. And then just at the end, when we were closing out the show, he just yells, "You guys suck."
Oh my god!
And there might have been a couple expletives in there too.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
I left
of course.
Out.
I was doing a youth conference. It was like an outdoor festival thing, and so it was a giant tent. It was like 600 kids. There were no chairs, so they're all sitting on the ground, and they're packed in there. That definitely was a fire hazard, but it was a Christian festival, so nobody's checking up. And I'm on stage, and again, I'm maybe 4 years into it, so I've got a pretty good hour, but I don't have anything past that, and I'm not good at crowd work, I'm not good at anything. And there was a teenage girl down front, and she just would not shut up. She just kept yelling stuff out, and it wasn't even like so much disruptive as she just felt like we were talking. Like she thought we were just having a conversation, and I ignored her at first, and then finally I gave her a little bit of attention, thinking that would suffice.
You know, yeah.
And her youth pastor was sitting like right over by her, and he wasn't having her be quiet. Like he was just letting her go. And so I, about 25 minutes into it, I'm like, okay, she's going to wreck this whole hour if I don't deal with it. And I'm not a mean dude, but I turned and I just slammed her. Like I just slammed her. Because I was like, I was nice. I gave her attention. I
sure.
like,
what did you say? Do you remember?
Deal. Yeah, I don't want to say. I started with a lot of hacky stuff, like, oh, I didn't mean to talk while you were interrupting, or hold on, I'm opening for you, obviously, but you got to wait till I'm done with my set and stuff like that. But then I got like really like personal. It wasn't super mean, and especially at a comedy club, it would have been very, very mild.
Yeah.
But for a Christian festival, it was a little mean. But she wouldn't shut up. She was wrecking the show for everybody.
Sure.
She stands up, and she's enraged.
Oh, no.
And she's like, man, you are the worst person in the world. And she starts bawling. And, of course, I'm like, I can't remember, 3-4 years into comedy. And I don't know what to do now because I have my set hour, and everybody just needs to sit and listen to my hour. And so then she starts making her way out of the tent. But it's packed with kids on the ground. So she's having to step over people. So the whole time she's like, you're the worst person in the world. Excuse me, can I just need to go over here? You can't, I don't believe you call yourself a Christian. Can you move the ice chest there? I need to get up. It took her about 6 minutes to heckle me all the way out to the back of the tent. And I didn't know what to do, so I just had to stand there and watch it. And then she finally gets out of the tent, and everybody turns and looks at me, and I'm like, so I took my kids to Chuck E. Cheese. Like I didn't know how to recover from that.
Sure.
It was just,
so, yeah, I mean, with all this, like, you know, negativity, obviously, bad audience members, what keeps you going in comedy? What's the side of it that, you know, fills you up?
Man, I love hearing people laugh. And especially nowadays, I'm going to give a serious answer.
Ooh.
I don't normally do this, but there are a lot of people hurting, like a lot of people dealing with depression, and suicide rates are through the roof and stuff like that. So I've always enjoyed just being able to, you know, give laughs to people. Like I feel like that is a gift for people. And but nowadays there's so much mental illness and just so much problems in the world and uncertainty and all these conspiracy theories and a lot of them that are coming true. And so now there's a lot of panic and a lot of, you know, there's just so much doom and gloom. to be able to be like, hey, come into this room with me for an hour, you know, or hour plus, and I'm just going to make you forget about everything and just laugh. Like, I love that.
Yeah.
And I love that I only do clean comedy, so I love seeing families coming in together and laughing. I love seeing, you know, I had a dad come up to me after show one time, and he was like, and his kid was a teenager, and I've had teenager, you know, boys, and we have five kids, so it's like I know exactly what he's talking about. He's like, we've been butting heads all year. We cannot, like, agree on anything. We really can't even be in the same room, but we both really like your comedy. And so he was saying, thanks for coming to my city, because my son and I, it brought us closer. Just for the week leading up to going to the show, they started doing more stuff together because they knew they were going to the show together.
Yeah.
So I like all that kind of stuff. And this answer is not specifically me. It's, I think, comedians in general. Like, so I'm not sitting here going, well, I get to come in and bless people's lives. Like, yeah. I honestly think just me, a comedian, has that ability. And I think it's even more important right now in today's society to be able to just remind people that there's still some joy in this world to be had. And I think people get farther and farther away from realizing that life is supposed to be joyful because it's just, there's so much stuff out there.
Yeah.
Bring them down.
No, that's great, man.
And there's haters just sitting there waiting to bring them down even farther, you know? Yeah. So it's really hard to find an escape. And that's why a lot of I think people go to drugs and alcohol and Dune 2. they're looking for some kind of escape. And so to be able to do clean comedy, you're providing that escape for them for a while.
No, yeah. That's really good.
You were telling me about a father and son that you kind of united with your comedy.
Oh no, they got way worse after my.
They finally agreed they hated your comedy.
Yeah, no.
Oh, they bonded on their hatred for you. Okay, well, we all have different ways that we get there.
We each help families in our own way.
Yeah.
Thought my fans would step in, but they were convinced also.
I like how you put the S on the word fan. So cute.
There were two for a minute.
Fan, parenthesis S, parenthesis.
Yeah.
Just hoping.
Parenthesis question mark.
Soon to be an S.
Bob, you mentioned opening for bands a little bit earlier, which... And not because you were related to them. We made that clear.
Yeah,
but how did that's a very unique way to start comedy, I feel like. How did that happen? And was that your beginning in comedy completely? Yeah.
So I was going to college. I was going to be a teacher. So all my life, I thought I'd planned it out. I was going to be a teacher, then a principal, and the superintendent.
What kind of teacher starting out?
I was going to do elementary ed because, I was kind of looking around. This was in high school. I was looking around, and I was seeing a lot of kids grow up without a dad. And I was seeing divorce rate was starting to, you know, to get big. And I thought, well, maybe I'll do elementary ed because I can be a positive role model to kids. Plus, I knew I had to go to college, and so I knew the classes would probably be easy because I knew most of the alphabet by the time I got to college. So.
That's impressive.
Yeah, it sounds like a joke, but my two roommates, one was studying to be a missionary, and the other one was studying to be a doctor. So one semester, we were studying for finals, and the doctor was studying zoology and botany, which is the two hardest classes to take. And the missionary guy was studying Hebrew and Greek. And they're in the living room, and they're just like, there's papers everywhere, and they're going through everything. And one of them looks up and he goes, Smiley, what are you doing? And I was going, I got a final. I'm making my bulletin board. And I was cutting a giraffe out.
No way.
They were over there studying botany. And I was like, there's a giraffe.
Yeah, that's zoology in a way. That
yeah,
works.
It was. It was. Yeah. It was. And, that's funny. Yeah. So it was. So I thought elementary ed and then move into administration and stuff. So my junior year in college, they had a stand-up competition because they had high school weekend and they wanted to have all these activities and, you know, like, hey, look, we're a fun college. So they, you know, they had a stand-up competition. It was a Christian college, though. So you had to do your act in front of a board to make sure it was clean. So everybody in college kept telling me I should do comedy because I was the funny guy on campus. But I never thought I could do stand-up. Like, I love stand-up, but I just thought, you know, to have the cojones to stand in front of a stage and be like, you're all going to listen to me for an hour, and I'm going to make you laugh. I just was like, oh, who does that? you know? So I didn't even sign up for the competition. And the night before, the lady calls me that was running, and she was like, hey, when we came up with this idea, we thought you, and I had a friend named Mark who was really funny. She was like, I thought you two would sign up, but you, how come you didn't? I was like, I know everybody thinks I should be a comedian, but I, like, that's just not me. And she goes, well, we thought, and the reason why she was calling is she had seen the other comedians, and she was panicking because it was, like, not good.
Yeah.
So she calls me, and she was like, hey, we thought, because I was very famous for being cheap at college. I was, like, the cheapest guy. And but she said that night, she goes, we know how frugal you are, which I thought was sweet to say frugal.
It's a nicer way to say it.
Yeah. And she goes, we thought the cash prize would have enticed you. And I was like, well, wait a minute. I didn't know about the cash prize. She was like, yeah, first prize gets $500. And I was like, oh, can we get the board together? I'll put together a set. Like, I didn't, because I $500 in Abilene, Texas is like 8 months rent. So I was like, I wanted to win that money.
Yeah.
So she said, don't even worry about performing for the board. I know you'll be clean. So just show up tomorrow. And I was like, okay. So I showed up. I wrote a little bit about student loans and the Abilene Zoo. Like, that was my concept stuff. And I did that. I won, not because I was good. Everybody else was terrible. It was so bad. One guy had a sombrero, and his whole act was going, oh, shouldn't have sat on the front row. My sombrero might fall on you. Okay, wow. Actually, I got more laughs than you did.
Yeah. That's more of a closer than
I was. Yeah, it was a closer. One guy was he was a friend of mine, but he was a young black Republican and always just dressed the best, the nicest dude, but very, very Republican. And he watched Comedy Central the night before. So he was doing bits about being in Vietnam and growing up in the ghetto. And I'm up there and I'm like, you're wearing a three-piece suit. Like, everybody knows that you came from the Heights. Like, come on. But he just watched, you know, Comedy Central and just took stuff.
Yeah.
In fact, he would finish a bit, and then he would turn and look on his stool to see what other bit that he had taken from. So I got up and just did some stuff, and I won. And then 2 years later, this guy calls me out of the blue, and he goes, hey, I'm a road manager, a guy named Clay Cross. He's a Christian singer. And we leave for tour in 2 weeks, and we just had a meeting, and Clay said it'd be fun to have a comedian come out and keep the crowd entertained in between the acts. And he goes, I don't know what you're doing, but I saw you do that stand-up competition our junior year in college, and you were really funny. And he goes, "What?" He actually, this is going to tell everybody how old I am, he paged me. I was making that kind of money. And so I pulled over at a Cracker Barrel payphone. And I called this 615 area code, which I didn't know was Nashville at the time. I'm standing at a Cracker Barrel payphone. And he goes, hey, so do you want to go out on tour? And I was like, hey. And of course, I thought, this is ridiculous. Like, but I wanted to go. And I thought, they're going to fire me in a week. But I was like, sure. And so I was like, yeah. And and this is how he got my number. Like, how crazy is, you know how the colleges keep your number so they can ask you for money throughout your entire life?
Yeah.
He called my college and they just gave it to him. Like, you couldn't do that nowadays. But thankfully, they did. And so he goes, so do you want to go on tour? And I was like, sure. Like, I was so nonchalant about it. So I got on a plane, flew to Nashville, got off a plane, got on a tour bus, and went out on tour with Clay Cross as a working comedian. And at that point in my life, I'd done stand-up 3 times. I'd done that stand-up competition. My girlfriend's mom had passed away, and so we went back for the funeral, and we had just started dating. It was the worst timing. My timing was not good back then. But so I don't know anybody, and we just started dating and stuff, but I'm there to support her and stuff. And they went to the old youth pastor's house, and they had all the kids and from the neighborhood and stuff. And we're in the back room, and the youth pastor comes in, and he's like, hey, all right, we've got everybody in the living room. I'm thinking like 10 minutes. And I was like, 10 minutes for what? He goes, you know, do some stand-up just to kind of cheer people up. And I was like, well, I don't do stand up. And he goes, no, I heard you won that competition. And, and I was like, no,
that was,
I was like, and he goes, yeah, it'll be fine. I just done the stand up competition. That was it. The one thing.
They're like, we heard you have a good Abilene Zoo bit that we need to hear.
And so he walks into the living room and he's like, all right, everybody, man, it's been a kind of rough day, but here to bring a little bit of uplifting spirits, Bob Smiley. And I had to go and do a bit for the kids of Merkel, Texas. And so I did that. And then my fraternity, they said that they wouldn't charge me for our, it's called Grub, like our dinner date night, our big social banquet. They wouldn't charge me and my date if I did stand up. So, and it was $75 back then. So those were my two paid gigs. So then I'm touring with Clay Cross, and he had these moving lights that kept breaking. So I had to go up and stall. And so that really was my open mic night experience of just getting up there and learning what not to say. And I learned to, whenever the tour bus came into the town, to be looking out the window to see what can I be making jokes about. So I just went out on tour and taught myself how to do stand-up comedy. And
wow.
And then Clay and I became friends. So Clay asked me to stay on and do his summer dates. And so I was doing his summer dates, and the Newsboys saw me. And so they came up and they were like, hey, that's a pretty good idea, like having you doing jokes in between the acts and stuff. We're going on tour. And again, I grew up in like a total redneck kid way out in the country. We drove 9 miles from our house till we got to a paved road. So I didn't listen to any music, much less we didn't have Christian music.
Yeah.
So the Newsboys are like, hey, you want to go on tour with us? I was like, okay, what kind of music do you guys play? Like, I didn't know anything about them.
Funny.
And their second album at that time had just gone platinum.
Wow.
And so then all of a sudden I'm standing in front of like 4,000 or 5,000 people a night doing shows. And then youth leaders would like come up after the show and be like, hey, the kids were laughing at you and they don't really laugh at anything. Will you come do a show at our church? And I was like, well, yeah. I've got the same 15 minutes that you guys just heard, but sure. You know, and then I realized like, oh, I need to be writing a lot. Yeah. And so that's really how I got into it. So Clay Cross and the Newsboys and a band called the Supertones asked me to tour. So those first 3 years, it was really like I was out on tour just pretending to be a comedian.
That's crazy. Just
figuring it out. Here's the only bad part. It worked out for me. But now kids come to my show and they're always like, how do I become a comedian? And I'm like, do a stand-up competition your junior year in college and wait for somebody to call.
Then you'll do some rock shows. Then you do some churches. Then you'll finally get to do pools.
Yeah, you'll work your way up to a wave pool.
You mentioned that you were known as the cheapest guy on campus.
Yeah.
Which is one thing to be cheap, as to be known as the cheapest guy. Yeah. How did you manifest that?
I didn't think I was that cheap, but of course you know, I wouldn't pay for condiments. I did eat off a Frisbee my sophomore year.
Sometimes you got to do it. That's funny.
I didn't see why. Kids were wasting money on paper plates in their dorm rooms. And I was like, I have a Frisbee and a Yahtzee cup. So I got a drink.
Wow. And games all at the same time.
I'm trying to think what they made fun of me for. When you move, it was sophomore year, you got your own bathroom, you and your roommate. And so I did not buy shower curtain rings because they were $1.75 and I already had a box of rubber bands. So I put rubber bands and it worked. But everybody in the dorm was making fun of me, like, Smelly won't even spend $1.75 for shower curtain rings. I was like, because I don't have to. I had a box of rubber bands.
MacGyvered it a little bit then.
Yeah. So I was, like, always doing stuff like that. And I always knew the places that had free samples. And I don't know. I just lived frugal. And it paid off.
I like that you started the story with, I don't think I was that cheap. And then it went to rubber bands for shower curtain rings.
See, that didn't seem cheap to me. That seems brilliant.
It's brilliant. It is brilliant. It can be both.
I take the hotel toilet paper because I'm paying, and nowadays you pay a lot for
that's a good one. Yeah.
And so I take the toilet paper, and my wife, like, you know, when we got married, she's just giving me all this flack about it. Like, you know, isn't it stealing? And I was like, went through the whole thing, like, no, that's provided, like shampoo, you know, all that kind of stuff. I don't take the remotes anymore.
It's hard to pair them with your TV.
So I do take the toilet paper and the shampoo and stuff. And probably the only good thing about COVID is when COVID hit, and all of a sudden, toilet paper was scarce. I just opened up our pantry, and I was like, you want Hampton? You want Holiday Inn? What do you want?
Every ply from hotels across the world.
I have prepared a place for you, my love.
That's funny.
So we had plenty of toilet paper.
My mom would steal all the shampoos all the time as a kid. Like, yeah. She would just have so many. But I think recently, maybe people like you and my mom, they don't have the little individual things anymore. They just have these big pump bottles that are attached to the wall. Have you okay. noticed that?
Yeah. So you know what you do?
No, I don't.
So after your show, you've got an empty water bottle because you drank your water bottle.
Sure.
And so you carve out about 6 minutes and just pump. So you're actually getting more shampoo.
That's true. It's actually better.
Like, so at home, there's like 4 water bottles in my shower, and it's shampoo, wow. conditioner, like body wash. Yeah. Man. I can't wait to read the hate comments.
No, this is a life hack.
But you know what? My brilliant. House is paid for. So
that's great. And Holiday Inn Express, like yeah. execs are meeting and they're like, why are we losing money year after year?
Money on shampoo.
What's the common factor? It's Bob Smiley character.
Well, here's the deal. Like, you know, the prices went through the roof and they're never going down. Like now yeah. that like that kind of crisis was over, they're not lowering their prices because people are going to pay that. Mm-hmm. And so they're making tons of money. So if I take a little shampoo or, sure. you know, a lamp, it's that big a deal. I mean,
skim a little conditioner off the top.
Yeah, yeah.
You
yeah.
take that.
No, they really do plan for that. They know people do that. So, you know.
That's fun.
So if nobody does it, then.
Yeah.
Somebody has to do it, basically what you're
yeah,
saying.
Yeah, so, and I'm only one man, but I am trying to make a difference.
Man.
In that.
Oh, wow, this has been very educational. Bob, I'm gonna take a leaf out of your book here.
See, I have dumb advice. That's the thing. You know my greatest traveling tip? And it's, so you know how you go in the bathroom and they have the automatic sensor that flushes on you randomly? So if you move to the left or the right, you
sure.
get yeah. like a hickey. I hate that thing. And one day I figured out, because it's just a sensor in the back. So my greatest traveling tip is whenever you get to the airport, they give you the little bag tags. It just peels off and it fits perfectly over the sensor. So you just put it over the sensor. You can sit down as long as you want. It's not going to flush on you. Even if you move, and then you get back up, peel it back off, put it on its protective little covering. Back in your pocket, you're done. And it doesn't wow. flush on you. So it was worth making it to the end of this podcast for that
absolutely.
Little nugget.
Wow.
I just love the cleaning people going in after being like, all the toilet paper is gone, the shower rings are missing. So I think there was another lamp here.
Yeah.
And there's remember. A sticker across the sensor.
I don't remember rubber bands holding the shower.
Fair trade.
Yeah, Smiley has struck again.
Wow.
That's fantastic, man.
Well, besides stellar advice and travel tips, is there anything else you want to say to our audience before we head out of here?
Be kinder to these guys. I mean, they really are trying.
Trying really hard.
They're trying really hard.
This is sounding like church... church heckles right now.
Yeah. They're giving their best effort, and no, they're not good. We all know that. But they really are putting some effort, you know, forward.
Wow. Thanks, Bob. We feel good now.
Man, that is what we needed to hear. Well, great. Well, it was a joy to have you on, Bob, and I hope we can have you back someday if
yeah, that'd be great.
You're in town.
Thanks for and where can people follow you and stuff? Do you do the social media?
Yeah, Instagram, Facebook. If you're a sinner, I am on TikTok. yeah, I've got a website. If I feel like I'm saying I have a fax machine.
Is your pager still operational?
You can't get people right to there. I have a MySpace.
You still have that phone by Cracker Barrel every once in a while?
That payphone. That's just so weird, though, thinking about me standing at a Cracker Barrel payphone and my life is completely about to change.
So, yeah, it's really cool.
And I'm just like, okay, you know, I guess I'll do it. But yeah, so I'm on social media, Instagram, YouTube, all that stuff. Just put in Bob Smiley. I also write comedy books for middle school kids through Focus on the Family.
Oh, cool.
I write this book series called The Adventures of the Average Boy. So if you have kids and you care about them, they should probably get those books. It's kind of like a Diary of a Wimpy Kid, only way better. No, Diary of a Wimpy Kid's great. So I write this Adventures of Average Boy. We also do an Average Boy podcast, which is a short, funny story. We keep it between 18 and 22 minutes long, and it's for families to listen to because there's not a lot of stuff that families can listen to together.
Sure.
So, again, it's a lot of clean comedy, funny stories, and That's free wherever you get podcasts. And so, yeah, I'm out there. People can find me if they will just start looking. Nobody's looking. But when they do start, I am out there.
Holiday Inn is looking for you, though.
Holiday Inn. Hampton Inn is definitely.
Oh, great. Well, thanks again, Bob. And thank you to the viewers. We look forward to seeing you next week. Check out drybarcomedy.com for upcoming specials, live shows, merch, and more. And see you next time.
Bye, everybody.